Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we'll be reading verses 5 through verse 8 this morning. I'll read verses 5 and 7 if you'll join with me on verses 6 and 8 of Luke chapter 11. If you found Luke chapter 11, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. And again, I'll be beginning Luke chapter 11, verse number 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his opportunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for the reading this morning. Thank you for how you've met again this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bless. Lord, I pray you'd be with us special. Prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, how we need you this morning. Lord, we need you through the speaker, through the sound of the words that come. Lord, I pray that what we hear this morning, we'll go out and use and apply in our lives. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Folks, I still reiterate over and over that singers and musicians get a break and preachers are discriminated against. And you put 2 songs back to back in a medley and everybody loves it. But if I was going to preach 2 sermons this morning, you'd leave right now. So I was in the service this week where the choir started singing and got about, 60 seconds into their song. And they just stopped and went back and started over again. And if I got about 2 pages into this and said, folks, I need to go back and start on page 1, I think you'd walk out. But anyway, singers get the breaks. Amen. That's just the way it is. All right. Please bear with me. I was not going back to Luke chapter 11. In fact, I imagine that you were hoping to hear something different than turn to Luke chapter 11 in your Bible. But, you know, something got on my mind this week, and I had a little incident take place that I'll share with you. And the Holy Spirit of God just directed me right back. Plus, since I did the message, I've gotten some feedback from people in the church on Prayer 101, entry-level praying, and how, well, praise the Lord, it's kind of helped some people start the day with God. Amen. God consciousness. So, okay, this morning we're preaching on Prayer 201. Okay? Prayer 201. So it took us 5 weeks to get through 101, and now let's go to 201, and we'll see how long we're here. But, hey, if it's biblically based, it's good, okay? And so I want to want God's help to help me deliver it today. My Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege to talk to you. And I'm reminded of what Jesus taught his disciples, not if you pray, but when you pray. It's expected. And God, how my heart has rejoiced these past now several weeks, months now, starting the day more consciously, the very waking moments with you. Help us today to preach your word, encourage us, teach us, I pray, speak to our hearts. If there's any here not saved, oh Lord, draw them to Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. In Bible college, my major was pastoral theology. And among the courses that were required for that degree were two classes called homiletics. They were called basic and advanced. Basic homiletics and advanced homiletics. Basic homiletics was a prerequisite class for advanced homiletics. In other words, you could not take advanced homiletics unless you had already taken and passed basic. You couldn't take advanced unless you'd already taken and passed basic homiletics. Now, the administration had decided that the material in basic homiletics was vital enough to understand advanced homiletics that it had to be taken first. What the administration never did was sit in Johnny Pope's homiletics class, okay? Because I'm going to tell this with you. I tell you, we learned some. You can tell I didn't learn a lot about homiletics, but we had a good time. I will say that. And he could imitate anybody. He used to imitate the entire Billy Graham crusade. I mean, he would imitate George Beverly Shea, Ethel Waters, and Billy Graham. All three of them. Do all three of them. And you would think you were listening to George Beverly Shea, Ethel Waters, as he sang, "Mine Eye Is on the Sparrow," and then Billy Graham as he would preach. And we'd get him off on a tangent, you know. We're there. We're in school, man. When you're busting yourself in college, it's fun to have a professor that has a little levity. And Brother Ballard has provided that for Providence, believe me. But it was fun. We'd get him going on all kind of things. But nonetheless, you had to take it in that order, basic homiletics and then advanced homiletics. You could call it homiletics 101 and homiletics 201. That's kind of how it would be. Now, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And Jesus responded by giving them a model of prayer that we've been looking at line by line the last several weeks. I called it Prayer 101, entry-level praying, basic praying. And you know, the good thing about praying, folks, is I look around the auditorium and thought about this a little while ago. We have folks here that have been saved for years and years and years, folks who've been saved for over 50 years. That's great. Great. And we have folks who've been saved here for less than 5 months. And that's great, too. Amen. And all in between. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Whether you've been saved 50 years or less than 5 months, you can always jump into this matter of prayer. Anywhere, okay? And this basic entry-level praying, if you will. And the habit of starting, it's been my desire to really encourage us to start the day with God. Start the day with God. Getting God conscious at the very beginning of the day. As demanding and as stressful as the days are now, I think it is absolutely imperative that God's people get started with Him at the very beginning. And so, Father in heaven, thank you for this day. I thank you that you're in heaven, and I know you as my Father, and you're seated high and lifted up above all that is down here on the earth. And thank you for your name, and your name is holy. And help me not to do anything to embarrass your name today. And I'm concerned about your kingdom and the advancement of your kingdom. And I want you to be the king in my life today. And Father, I'd love for your will to be done in my life today. I can't make your will be done in America. I can't control your will in Bourbonnais. But there's one place where I can see your will exercised, and that's in my life, my heart today. So please, help me to do your will today. And Father, thank you. Thank you for all the great provisions that you've given me. The roof over my head, the clothes on my back, the bed to sleep on, the vehicle I have to drive, the food that I have to eat, the abundance. All of this came from your great and gracious hand. And please, Lord, help me to meet and just meet my needs. And forgive me. And forgive me of my sin. I'm talking, Lord, about the sin that I committed yesterday that I'm not even aware of. You say, you think that happens? I don't think. I know it does. We're so desensitized to the Holy Spirit that we go through a day and displease God and we don't even sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us about it. So forgive me for what I did. I'm not talking about things that the Spirit of God slaps us about right away. And thank God you can stop and ask for immediate forgiveness and God grants it. Amen. But I'm talking about just a general prayer of forgiveness and God help me to forgive others. And then Lord, keep me from sin. Help me to live clean today. Thank you for forgiving me from my sin yesterday. Now help me to live clean today. Help me to live honest and pure and right, not only in your eyes, but in the sight of men as well. And keep me, Lord, if I go into a trial, keep me from sinning in the trial. And that's basically it. And folks, you know, now Matthew chapter 6, where this prayer is recorded also, Matthew chapter 6 ends with a little phrase, you know it, and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I believe that's because the Gospel of Matthew has a Jewish slant, okay? Presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. Here in Luke chapter 11, it doesn't include that because Luke has the Gentile slant, okay? Now in Matthew chapter 6, remember this, we looked at this two Sunday nights ago, when Jesus said, you know, and thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, amen. He goes right into the next verse talking about how important it is to forgive others who have sinned against you. Because if you don't forgive folks who've sinned against you, God's not going to give you something you're not willing to give somebody else. That's dangerous, folks. That's dangerous to hang on to something that somebody's done to you who has sincerely and honestly asked you to forgive them, and yet you hang on to it and you will not release them from it. I'll never let you down. I'll never forgive you for this. Now you better be careful about that attitude. Because God says, I'm not going to give you something you won't give somebody else. Okay? That's how Matthew 6 does. It goes from the model prayer into that. In Luke chapter 11, he ends this prayer and then he goes right to introducing the disciples in verse number 5 to a different course in praying, if you will. We could call the first four verses of this chapter the basic praying, the entry-level praying, prayer 101. Watch me. I've said this over the last few weeks. You've got no overwhelming burden. You've got no overwhelming need. You've got no overwhelming grief. No overwhelming sorrow. It's kind of a good day, but you start that. You don't dare take for granted, just because everything's going good, that you can go through a day without God. So you start the day with this basic prayer, the one I just went through. Something like that. You say, how do you know? What makes you think we ought to pray that? Because Jesus said, when ye pray, say. That's pretty clear. Okay? So I'm talking, but now listen. Jesus then moves them to learn something about something a little more than basic. A little more advanced praying, and here's why. How many days do we have with no overwhelming burden? How many days do you go through with no overwhelming need? How many days do you go into with no overwhelming sorrow? Or at least we feel those things for someone we love. The truth of the matter is, people, we probably have more days with an overwhelming burden, need, sorrow, grief, than without. And if it's not ours, it's someone whom we love. And so Jesus tells this story about a man. He said, here's a man who was put into a situation because a friend of his is on a journey, and this friend unexpectedly stops by his house. The friend has been journeying, he's traveling, he's not taking time to stop for something to eat, and he is very, very hungry when he arrives at this man's house. And the host is caught without bread. He loves his friend is hungry, and he wants to put something in front of his friend to eat. He has nothing, and to complicate the matters, it's midnight. There's no 7-Elevens, no Casey's. It's midnight. What does the man do? The host goes to another friend of his down the road to borrow some bread for his friend who is hungry. And that's really all that I'm going to stop, all the part of the story I'm going to deal with this morning. There are some other things that I'll probably deal with again next week, so you kind of know where we're headed next Sunday in the morning message on next Sunday, the 21st of July. But let's stop right there. This man has a friend who comes to his house at midnight. He's on a journey. He's hungry. He's caught with nothing in the pantry, nothing available. And so he goes down to the house of another friend so he can get bread from this friend to give to this friend who is hungry. Are you with me so far? Now, this is a lesson in prayer 201. This is advanced. This is a different level, if you will, a little heavier, deeper than 101. Prayer 101 was the basic. Now, this is more advanced, prayer 201. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about friend number one, about the middleman, and about friend number two. Friend number one, the middleman, and friend number two. Let's talk about friend number one. Verse number six. Look at it. Verse number six. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me. So the middleman's friend stops at his house. This friend has a need. He's hungry. He has been traveling, more than likely on foot. He's gotten in very late. It's midnight. And he really needs something to eat. In other words, this is a legitimate need. Now, do you have any friends with needs? You say, well, Pastor, who are my friends? Well, if you have to ask that, I'm not sure I can help you. It could be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be a parent. It could be a relative. It could be a neighbor. It could be a distant cousin. It could be somebody that you work with. All around us, there are friends with needs. Needs of health, needs of material needs, family issues, financial matters, burdens. Hey, there is no end of friends who have needs. And if some of our friends, they do not bother to tell us about their need. They don't ask us. They don't bother to ask us for pray. Other friends do ask us to pray. And sometimes we find out through the grapevine about what our friends' needs are. I just want to say this today. Sad is the Christian who never engages in prayer for a friend. Sad and sorry is the Christian who never carries the need of a friend on his or her heart. And by the way, folks, I'm going to talk most of my time about the middleman here. But let me just remind all of us this morning about the law of sowing and reaping. And someday, if not already, you and I are going to have a need and going to want someone to pray for us. And if we're going to have a need someday where we need someone to pray for us, somebody to carry our needs on their heart, how loathsome to ask and then expect someone to feel for us when we are unwilling to feel for others. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, somebody said, and I quote to you, rich is the person who has a praying friend. Rich is the person who has a praying friend. So here's friend number one. And friend number one has a need. He stops at the middleman's house and he has a legitimate need. Now, number two, let's talk about the middleman this morning. The middleman has no ability to meet the need. Look at the end of verse number six. I have nothing to set before him. So here's a man who's hungry. And this guy doesn't have anything in the freezer, nothing in the cupboards, nothing in the pantry. He has nothing in the refrigerator, nothing to set before his friend who is hungry. Now, let me point this out here. I believe with all my heart that if the middleman had some bread in the pantry, he would have put it out there for his friend. There are times when it is within our capabilities to meet the need of a friend. Let me quote to you a verse. Let me read to you a verse. 1 John 3:17. Listen to this. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's a strong verse. And brother, I want to tell you something. The very essence of the Christian life, the very essence of the Christian experience is to help meet the needs of others. And I want to say, there is great joy in helping to meet the needs of others when it is within our ability to do so. And over the years, occasionally, it has been a blessing to buy shoes, to buy groceries, to buy clothes, to help people who have a need. I want to say this today, while I'm on this subject, that I appreciate so very much the vision that some of you folks have caught in this church on this very thing. In the last 9 months, and maybe 12, I have heard from different events. I was in Michigan preaching, and an evangelist who was there hosting the meeting told me, he said, Brother Angel, he said, I appreciate your church. He said, the last time I preached at your church, he said, the tires on my big old truck were absolutely bald. And he said, you know, we've been praying about how God was going to meet that need. He said, I went out to my truck and rolled up in the door handle of my truck was a check for, I think it was $800, $1,000. From somebody in the church. Now, don't go out and check everybody's door handles this morning, folks. That blessed me. Another evangelist passed through here, preached here on a Wednesday night. Parked his vehicle out here where by the office where folks, a lot of folks come in that south door down there. And somebody walking by his vehicle noticed that the tires were bald. And again said, look, I want to do this. We're anonymous. I don't want him to know. And I want to get some tires on it. Then ended up taking it down to a shop and getting some work done on it. And the evangelist called me the next day. In fact, I preached in a meeting the next day where he was preaching. And he said to me, he said, brother, he said, you won't believe. He said, I don't know how much work was done. He said, I have no idea. I do know this. I have 4 new tires and I have this new and I have an oil change. And all of it was paid for by somebody in your church who just saw money. Hey, folks, that's what I'm talking about. I got a phone call from an evangelist. I said, Brother Terry, he said, I preached in, preached in the church. He said, Brother Terry, he said, I just want you to know, I just received a check in the mail for a sum of money from somebody in the church that was there and heard me preach, wanted to be a blessing, and sent to my family and sent us a check. Now, folks, I don't know anything about that. You know what I say? I say amen to that right there. Brother, I want to tell you something. If God has blessed you and God has been good to you and God has rewarded your effort and your work and you have a little bit extra, there is true Christianity in seeing somebody else's need and meeting that need. When it's in your within your capability. Are you with me this morning? There's true Christianity in that. But here's what I want to say. So often, and maybe more often, the needs of our friends are beyond our capabilities to meet. They're beyond our capabilities. If it's a health need, it's most of the time beyond our capabilities. If it's a job need, it's most of the time beyond our capabilities. If it's a financial need, it may be beyond our capabilities. If it's a family issue, it's probably beyond our capabilities. If it's some big burden, it may be beyond our capabilities. We do not have the ability to help meet those needs. Then what? What do we do? When it is beyond our ability to help meet the need for the friend, do we just say, God bless you? What did this man do? The middleman had nothing to set before him. His friend was in an obvious situation of need, legitimate need. He was hungry. And the middleman had nothing. But he had a friend who had the ability to meet his friend's need. And that's what you read about verse 5 there. It talks about the friend who goes to this friend. It says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And verses 7 and 8, we got the friend's response. And I won't even go into that this morning because that's not really the gist of my message. This is the best thing in all the world. The middleman has a friend who has a need. The middleman has no ability to meet that need. But the middleman has another friend who can meet that need. So the middleman, on behalf of friend number one, goes to friend number two. He's not interested in anything for himself, but he says, friend number two, can you give me something so I can help friend number one? That's big time. That's big time. Brother, we may not have the ability to meet a legitimate need or burden for our friends, but if we're saved, you're saved this morning, we have a friend who has all power and all ability, and we can go to Him. We can talk to the... And listen, you know what the great thing about this is? The Father in prayer 101 is the friend in prayer 201. Same person. I like to think of it this way, you know. Here's a man, and he has a wife, and born to the man and his wife is a son. And he's a toddler, you know, and then he's an elementary school boy, and then he's in junior high, and then he's in high school. And all through those years, from infancy, from toddlerhood, growing up through high school, all through those years, the relationship is basically father-son relationship. Father-son, father-son. You say, well, I think he ought to be a friend. Well, I think the boy, yes, needs a dad who is his friend, but the boy needs a man who is far more of a father than he does a friend at the beginning. Far more. And so through all those years, this boy grows up with this father-son relationship. Well, then the boy, he leaves school, he goes off to college, he takes a wife, he gets married, he births some children, is out working on his own, if you will, and now his relationship with his dad has matured. It's changed. It's more friend-friend than father-son. 101 is father-son praying. Prayer 201 is friend-friend praying. Where you own a relationship, the Father now. You're not going to the Father, now you're going to a friend. And it's the same person. God fits the bill in both cases. He is the Father and He is the friend. But He is not our friend for our benefit only. He is our friend who can help us meet the need of another friend. And that's what I'm talking about. He is our friend with ability and power that we don't have to help our friend in need. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you praying for someone who has a need? Well, let it sink in for a minute. Are you praying for someone who has a need? Are you exposed to a friend who has a need that's beyond your ability to meet? Well, God bless you. Friend, I know you're all powerful. I know you're all wise. I know you're all sufficient. And I have a friend over here who really needs some help. Would you help him? Would you do something for him? And if you can give me something to give to him, I'll get it to him. But I would sure love to see my friend get some help. My question this morning is not what are you praying for? My question this morning is, who are you praying for? What are you praying for is prayer 101. Father, help me not to displease you and to embarrass your name. And Father, I want your will to be done in my life today. Be the king of my life and forgive my sin. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's basic level praying. Entry-level praying. That's starting today with God praying. But friend, move beyond that to prayer 201. Move beyond that to advanced praying, where you're praying is not what are you praying for, but where you're praying is who are you praying for. Some family member, son, and go beyond the four doors of the four walls of your house and look around you and people and co-workers and fellow church members and relatives and neighbors and friends who have legitimate needs and they're beyond your capability to meet those needs. But you have a friend who has all the ability and power in the world. Yes. You can go to him. Preached in Oklahoma City this week and they had about 350 teenagers there for that meeting, and I didn't get there till Wednesday because I was in Arkansas Monday and Tuesday. So I went to the conference and spoke Wednesday night. I saw Brother Vineyard Thursday afternoon. He looked terrible. He had just had a stent put in his heart in the hospital. But anyway, I think it was after the Thursday night service. Don't hold me to that, but it's after the Thursday night service. There was a teenage girl. She's a pastor's daughter. And I had preached in her dad's church in Kansas, western, almost out to Colorado, earlier this year, back in February. And she was at the conference with some of her family members and some kids from the church. And I'd seen them and spoken to them. But I was standing in an aisle kind of waiting for, you know, just how you do, you know, talking to folks. Service has ended. And she came up to me and she said, "Brother Angel," I said, "Yeah, good to see you. I'm really glad you're here." She said, "Brother Angel, when you were at Dad's church in February, I asked you if you had any prayer requests. And boy, the light bulb came on. I'd forgotten about that. I preached on a Monday and Tuesday. I was going to leave on Wednesday morning after the Tuesday night sermon message service there out there in western Kansas. Before we walked out of the building, she came up to me and she said, "Brother Angel, is there anything you'd like for me to pray for?" That's a teenage girl. I'm glad you young people are here today to hear this, and all of our teenagers as well. A teenage girl. And so now my mind is zipping back to February while she's talking to me. And so I'm reliving that experience and listening to her. And she's now, we're back in Oklahoma City. And my mind, oh yeah. And she says to me, "You asked me to pray for three couples in your church to have a baby." And then she named them. She said, "How are the so-and-so?" And the so-and-so. And the so-and-so. And I said, "Well, let me tell you. In January, the so-and-sos are having a baby." You ought to have seen that girl's face. For these months, that girl has been faithfully praying for somebody she didn't even know to have a baby. Three couples. Because I want you folks to know, I carry that kind of stuff on my heart. I will tell you, they have a very modest house. They are not wealthy people. They get by on the minimum. She does not have most of what the teenagers probably in this room have when it comes to the world's goods. I'll tell you what she has. She has a knowledge that she has a friend in heaven who can do big things for people on earth. Boy, that blessed me. That blessed me to no end. I had to send an email to the church office Friday morning before I preached the morning service. I had an attachment that I needed printed off for Sunday school this morning, fellas. And so I attached it. I've learned how to attach documents. Amen. Take a paper clip and put it on there. Watch out, dangerous. And then I said, "Sarah, attached is the Sunday school handout for Sunday." And then I said, "Would you like to hear a good story?" And I told her that story. I said, "Again, I want you to know how happy I am for you." I signed it, PA, Pastor Angel. Then I put PS. I asked that girl to pray for $1 million for me. I've been so anxious to tell you that this week, man. I couldn't wait to come here and tell you that on Sunday. It's real, people. It's not He's real. And these biblical principles about praying are not just filler in our book so we can have 66 books in a canon of Scripture. These are principles that if you and I would just put into practice and implement into our lives, we'd see God work. And God, and many of you pray for that same situation. You've seen that. So for all these months, this young 18-year-old girl out in Kansas near the Colorado border learned about the need that a couple had. What's she going to do about that? I got nothing to help her. But I know somebody that can. And that's praying 201. That's advanced praying. Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Got a loved one with a real need, emotional grief. I don't know what to do. Friend, can you help this friend? That's what I'm talking about. Who are you praying for? Who should you be praying for? We're real good at asking for ourselves. And that's okay. But sometimes we got to take the next step. Amen. And go to our friend. For our friend. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, we love your word and all that it teaches us. And just asking you, God, please, to take the simple little principle today from your word that's so powerful. Help us to implement it. Speak to our hearts. Thank you that we can engage in basic praying, entry-level praying. But then thank you for the blessed privilege of taking that next step. Finding out that the Father is our friend. We can go to our friend on behalf of another friend who really needs help. God, thank you. Put it on our heart this week to pray for somebody. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you in your mind's eye right now can think of a friend? And I say friend, it's a broad term. It could be a relative. It could be a family member. It could be a spouse. Might be a neighbor or a coworker. How many of you can see the face of a friend right now who has a need? Would you raise your hand? You see that face? Let me ask you a question. Will you pray for him this week? Will you pray for him this week? He said, Brother Angel, Brother Terry, I can't do anything about it. Oh, I know. But he can. Who are you praying for? Who should you be praying for? So somebody here this morning would say, Brother Angel, Brother Terry, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I have no clue. Never even give it a thought, in fact. I'm not saved, or I don't know if I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Let me just pray for you. Just slip it up and slip it back down for a minute here. And I'll close in prayer for you. Love to you. Love for you to come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. Anybody like that here this morning? Who's here would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but not baptized. I haven't been baptized in deep water yet since I've been saved. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? If you have permission to be baptized and want to, you take care of that with grandma there. Anybody else this morning? If you're saved and baptized, you know this is the place that God wants you to join and be a member, and you have talked to one of us about it, this is a great time to join. But maybe the best thing this morning is just to determine when I leave today, I'm going to carry somebody on my heart. And this week, I'm going to be talking to my friend. Father, bless us, help us. Thank you for the privilege to learn about prayer from your book. Now help us to go home and practice it, please, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Spirit of God, speak to your heart this morning. Let's... Let's obey Him. Let's obey Him. Would you do that? Maybe you could come this morning and start now. And that person who's on your mind, in your mind's eye just a moment ago, you saw somebody, you saw a face.